Welcome, everyone. This is take three. I'll explain in a second, but let's go for a little drive. Come on. All right, let's hit the road. So I would like you all to come along for a little drive with me. I'm driving the 78 Trans Am. And like I said, this is take three. I've actually tried to do this twice. Failed both times. First time, there was something wrong with the audio. Second time, I said, too many times. I'm not even kidding. I listened back to the recording and I said, a million times. And it was just terrible to listen to. So I'm going to consciously try to not use filler words this time. Anyway, I thought I'd just give you all a little chat and we'd have a chat together. I'm very happy to have you along for the ride. And the first thing I'd like to address is, well, this patron. I've had a number of people who've recently joined send me messages or leave posts asking if it's still active. You know, is this an active patron or has it somehow just become derelict? And the answer to that is, of course it's active. The difference is I don't make posts. I listen to and I reply to direct messages, private messages, and I do that every Monday, most of the time. I apologize, I do occasionally wait a week or two before answering if I'm a little bit caught up in all the other nonsense in my life. But it absolutely is active and I absolutely am there to answer any questions or to chat about anything you'd like to chat about. So that's the main thing I wanted to talk about, and I wanted to talk about a couple of other things. And if you like this kind of format of me going for a little drive and us chatting, I can do more of these in the future, but that's entirely up to you. You see, I get this idea, and the reason I stopped making frequent posts on my Patreon page, I get this idea that perhaps there's a little bit too much going out there from what I do. You know, I've got this Serpent ZA thing, my channel. Of course, we've got the China show every week. I do Shaban Ho. We have a patron for the China show too. We have Lao 86. And you know, in between everything that myself and Seamilk do, I think perhaps there's a bit too much overload. And it's for that reason that I didn't want to continue to make frequent posts. I know it sounds like an excuse, but I myself have just been overwhelmed these days with the amount of social media out there. And I understand what a massive sacrifice it is to support me here on Patreon. And I wanted to reassure you that I have never for one second ever taken it for granted. No matter how much you've given to me here on Patreon, it's all incredibly appreciated. You have no idea how much it means to me and my family. And it's something, I mean, I wish I could tell you a little bit more about what's going on with my family, but everything is going great. I have the most fantastic wife, as you all know, Sasha, and our daughter, who is almost 4 years old now, is just turning out to be such a delight and so wonderful. I honestly wish I could share more with all of you about what's happening with my daughter. You know, share pictures and updates, because it's a fantastic journey. But I hope you understand that due to the circumstances around what I do, I simply can't. And that's because, unlike most creators out there who can freely share their daily lives and what they get up to, I have an entire freaking government after me. Not only a government, but all the sycophants and supporters and nationalists really going after me all the time. And it's just one of those things. I have to be super careful about sharing anything about my personal life because, well, there are people actively hunting me down and hunting my family down. I'd like to talk about that a little bit. And hopefully you can understand why, for instance, you're listening to me rather than me being on camera right now. You see, I'd love to share with all of you what I'm seeing right now, especially the autumn colors, the fall colors that are out here. That's why I'm going for this drive. You know, there's finally a break in the weather. It's been raining and horrible for, you know, the past week or so. And finally, there's a break. I can take the Trans Am out, because this this old car, well, let's just put it this way. It doesn't suit rainy weather very well. It leaks. The windscreen wipers don't work properly. They smack on the hood, and yeah, it's all sorts of rubbish. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the car later, but I'd like to explain that now what I'm seeing is absolutely beautiful, and it's just one of those moments where I can very clearly say that moving to America, to the USA, and living here is one of the biggest treats and privileges I've ever been afforded to enjoy in this lifetime. And it's just such a fantastic place. Anyway, that aside, if I were to show you exactly where I was driving right now, well, you can bet that there'd be an army of little 50 centers and these crazy Western shills and everyone in between scrutinizing exactly what's going on and trying to figure out exactly where I was so that they can plan some sort of ambush or some way to try and jeopardize the way I live. Because that's what they clearly are out to do, and they've said as much online in posts, and they've demonstrated as much in the past. So yeah, I can't share it. It's unfortunate. I'd love to meet up more with you guys, my subscribers. I'd love to do these kinds of things, but like I said, I'm just not afforded to do that sort of thing. And so I hope you understand why you don't see more of my family, for instance, and that sort of thing. So while we're out here, I thought I would quickly discuss with all of you my motivations for doing what I do. Because I didn't set out to make a channel and a live show that criticizes the Chinese government and the various negative sides of China. That was never the goal. But there was something that happened a very long time ago. And I'm talking like 12, 13, 14 years ago, maybe longer. I put out a video right in the beginning of my YouTube career. I've probably been doing it for about a year and a half, maybe something like that. I put out a video and I asked my audience to please stop asking me politically charged questions, because it's simply something that I couldn't answer and something that could get me into big trouble living in China. You know, because I'd often get questions about Tiananmen Square or Tibet or what I think about these situations, and I simply couldn't answer them because, well, I lived in China, and as a foreigner you're not allowed to have an opinion about these things. If you do have an opinion about them, they can only be 100% in line with what the Chinese government wants you to believe. But even then it's risky because they change their mind too. And one minute you could say what they want to hear, and the next minute, having said that, can get you into trouble. So anyway, you all know the story by now if you've been following me long enough. I was really enjoying myself in China. I was having a great time, and I started making videos to show everyone, you know, what life was like. And it was a different time in China, of course, under different leadership. Things were different. But I was also at a different point in my life, and a very selfish sort of point, a narcissistic, youthful part of my life where I was having a great time and I was enjoying the freedom China gives you to have a good time. Thing is, you realize after a while that chaos isn't really freedom. You know, you're free to act like an arse and have a party and not get bothered and not have people call you out for your bad behavior. And that's why, unfortunately, China draws kind of the worst crowd, to be honest, when it comes to foreigners. But that's another topic for another day. The thing is, when I made that video, I asked people not to ask me about political things, and somebody left a comment and they said, "You can ignore politics, but politics will not ignore you." And you know what? That was an incredibly true comment, and it's something that I remember to this day. So here's the thing, I continued to make videos, as you know, about my everyday life in China, and things were totally okay. But when you live in a place long enough, you start to notice problems, right? Problems that affect you, and the more people you connect with. In other words, the more friends you make, the more family you have. Because don't forget, I do have Chinese family. I'm married to a Chinese citizen, so I have Chinese, I don't know what you call them, an uncle-in-law, uncle-in-laws, aunts-in-laws, Chinese parents-in-laws, Chinese cousin-in-laws, all that kind of thing. I don't have any brother or sister-in-laws because of the one-child policy, of course, but you know what I'm saying. So I've got family, I've got friends, and there are many negative parts of Chinese society that affect my Chinese friends and family. And me, of course, you know, when you live in a country, as I lived in China for 14 years, things start to affect you. Things affect your health, things affect your standard of living, your, you know, the way you live and all that sort of thing. So I'll give you an example. Not being able to drink the water out of the tap or the faucet, right? That is a big issue. I think everybody can agree that not being able to drink the water safely, well, no, not at all, you absolutely cannot drink the water in China, is not a positive thing. And it's something that negatively affects everyone, because all of a sudden everybody has to buy their drinking water, and you have to drink this bottled water. And if you run out of water in your house, you have to order water, you have to go fetch it. It's a big problem. You can never just drink the water, and you can't filter it, you know. You can't get some kind of a special filter it or boil it and drink it. You just absolutely can't. There's no way to treat that water to make it drinkable. So if you point out a problem like that, you wouldn't expect that people would attack you for it, right? Because you're pointing out something that affects everyone and that you want improved, because you want your Chinese family and friends to be able to live in a more healthy environment and a better environment for themselves. But I learned that by pointing out these simple issues in China as a foreigner, you will be attacked. And it's just part of the nationalist brainwashing that happens to everybody in school in China, in school and in the workplace and everywhere else. If a foreigner has an opinion that's not favorable about China, true or not, constructive criticism or not, they become public enemy number one. And so I started to get attacked for making very basic observations. And it was then that I started to realize that the bad things that I'd been seeing for the longest time, because man, did I see some terrible things in China. Remember, I may have been sharing all the positive things that I was seeing and enjoying in China, but at the same time, I saw the bad. I just wasn't sharing it, you know. I was giving China a fair shake. I thought, you know, maybe these problems will go away. In the back of my mind, that's what I was hoping anyway. But don't forget the human trafficking that I witnessed in the red light district when I lived there. The absolutely awful treatment of people, especially the poorer people in China that I witnessed. It was heartbreaking, and it's just unacceptable. But like I said, I thought, you know, China's changing and for the better, and hopefully all of this will go away at some point. You know, unfortunately, no, that's actually gotten worse now rather than better. So anyway, like I was saying, I wasn't sharing the bad stuff. And I thought to myself, you know what? If I criticize even the most mundane things and get attacked for it, I now start to understand how bad it is for people who are actually facing the bad things. You know, so for instance, people that have fallen afoul of the Chinese government for whatever reason, they themselves have no chance of standing up to this oppression and the bad things that happen to them. If they've had family members disappeared because they complained about a housing dispute or anything, any kind of freedom being taken away from them, they have no chance, no choice. Nobody can speak up for them. So I decided, you know what, I'm gonna use my platform to do that. But in order to really speak out, I need to obviously leave China, and that's why I left China before I really started to speak out. But at the same time as this was all happening, the attacks were increasing on me. And like I said, I was not talking about heavy topics. I was talking about things that were just affecting my family, for instance. And it had a kind of a double-edged sword effect, because not only did it make me angry that they were attempting to silence me through these attacks, not only against me, But I started to realize that the techniques the Chinese government uses on people, on their own people, are absolutely appalling. I mean, they went after my family, and this is a tactic that's used commonly against dissidents, but they went after my family, and not just my immediate family. They went after random, far-flung members of my family. They contacted aunts and uncles that live in Australia, and they contacted cousins that I hadn't talked to in years, or that I'd never talked to, didn't even know existed. Anyone with my family name, they reached out to. And it was the most appalling thing I'd ever seen, the most cowardly, disgusting behavior imaginable. And it made me realize that these methods that the Chinese government uses to silence people abroad and also at home are absolutely disgusting and need to be exposed. And so by doing these disgusting things to my family and myself, they encouraged me to talk more. And they encouraged me to shift my focus away from the petty or small or minor problems I was talking about and move on to the more major problems. And then, unfortunately for them, their continued harassment of me pushed me to make a pact to myself, and that is a pact that I would never be silenced, ever. And that I would continue to do what I do. And the more they harassed me and the more they go after me, the more determined I would become to continue to do what I do. So they ended up shooting themselves in the foot. The thing is, I cannot allow myself to become vindictive and criticize for the sake of criticism. I still need to be constructive and helpful and mindful in what I say and what I talk about. And so that's where the balance really lies, is finding topics that I can discuss that really still need to be exposed, that affect the daily lives of people in China and people abroad who are connected to China, like dissidents and so on, without being petty. So that's more or less where I stand right now. And my channel will always continue as long as I feel that I'm being helpful and able to address the absolutely terrible and abhorrent behavior that comes out of the Chinese government and those who support the Chinese government. And there's something that has happened, guys, which I have not been able to talk about, but I think I soon will be able to talk about. But actual proof, I have actual proof that the Chinese government started a campaign using foreigners, well, a specific foreigner, to paint me as racist and all this, but it's actually the propaganda department of the certain city in China. Actually, you know, the guy reached out to me, and I've got all the proof. It was the Chinese government actually made this massive campaign to attack me. And I've just been getting to a point where I've got to make sure that everybody's safe and everyone is okay before I break this story, because it proves, without a doubt, something that I've suspected for the longest time, that the Chinese government, in fact, is the one behind a lot of these slanderous videos that are out there and slanderous attempts at, you know, attacking my character. And this guy is connected to a bunch of the other guys who also have made, like, you know, Serpent Zedai exposed videos or Serpent Zedai is a racist and that kind of nonsense stuff that's out there. This is now finally, there's actual proof that it's the Chinese government that is behind at least some, if not all, of these attacks on my character. So it's quite exciting, and I'm very, very much looking forward to being able to bring that out, bring that knowledge out into the public for people to see. Because I have proof, and I have screenshots, and I have documents. Anyway, guys, I really enjoyed having you along. You can come drive with me in my 78 Trans Am. I absolutely love this car. It's rickety, yes, that's just the way they were built. It's not incredibly powerful, even though it has a 6.6 liter V8, but it's one hell of a fun and comfortable and cool car to drive around. Next time I'll drive something else. Anyway, let me know what you think and if you enjoyed this drive, and hopefully I'll see you in another one. Until then, stay awesome and thank you for your continued support. You have no idea how much it means to me and my family and everything that I do. Cheers for now.